miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I am Craig
Sheeman.
Brian
Adams.
Yeah. Cuts like a knife. Wow. How about that? Good tune. Rick Church spinning it on the other side of the glass. Although we are 1 hour away on the countdown from Miley Cyrus. Treating today like a Friday because we're not here tomorrow. I'm on vacation next week. And otherwise, we'll try and make it business as usual.
Yeah, it'll be chaos. It'll be mayhem. I'll be hosting and got a bunch of guests lined up, too. We'll have a good show. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
No doubt.
But I feel bad. You're going to be listening to the show.
I might. Why not?
Because get away. Because vacation. Block it out. Get away from it.
I know. And I can't go anywhere. I wanted to go somewhere. I had somewhere in mind. The family's down on it because of coronavirus. And so it's going to be a staycation. So I might have a radio on time for time driving around doing whatever it is I do. So, yeah. I may be a hot caller coming. I'm gonna disguise my voice.
Hot take.
I might have a nickname.
Yeah. Craig and Collier.
Craig and Collier, not at the beaches.
Now, this is interesting that the Buccaneers have yet to sign any 2020 draft picks, Greg Allman reporting. Did we know that? We should for the Athletic. The expectation is the team will wait until rookies report in advance of training camp and then get them signed. Players aren't missing anything because they're unsigned, so it will get worked out, though, soon enough.
I've not heard that. Now, usually there's some urgency to get people signed because of OTAs or whatever we have.
Well, that, yeah.
But that's gone, so maybe there's no urgency.
Yeah.
And they're slotted usually, but I don't know. I haven't heard anything. You're right. I haven't heard of any signings, so...
So a couple things, because we always tease stuff and then never get to it. So I want to get to it right now.
All right, let's do it.
First is the message from the SEC.
Okay.
Hold on.
You didn't print it out.
Right
we were a little flummoxed.
No, I got it right here. I exited out. Here it is. So we all know that the league had issued a statement announcing the event of the media days would not take place. They're going to be July 13th or the 16th as previously scheduled, right?
Right.
So here is a statement from the SEC regarding the postponement of the event today. As you may recall, the SEC announced on June 10th that the SEC Media Days will not be held July 13th or the 16th in Atlanta as originally planned, mm-hmm. but would be held virtually this year with the dates, times, and schedule of the event yet to be determined.
Correct.
Working in conjunction with the member institutions and SEC network, we continue to plan and work through various logistics of the event. Mindful of the new summer activity and preseason practice calendar approved by the NCAA, as soon as those determinations are made, we will, of course, provide that information to the media. As we enter into the holiday weekend, we felt it was best to remind everyone that the event will not be held July 13th or the 16th. We hope you have a safe and enjoyable Independence Day weekend. My question is,
when?
Why do you have to, do you need to put that out as a statement? I want to remind you that we're reminding you again to remind you that we won't have media event July 13th or the 16th. The only thing I got out of that at all is we continue to plan and work through various logistics of the event. Virtual cameras? I mean, because again, what is Nick Saban or Ed Orgeron or anybody else, Jimbo Fisher, who might have his own problems coming up, what are they going to say if you have it on July? What can they possibly say about anything?
Maybe this is to help out media members who have been under a rock. Don't keep your flights. We're not happening.
But seriously, I was trying to think about this today. So Ed Orgeron's up there, defending national champs. Go with him instead of Nick. Well, both of them. What question, Craig, would you ask either one of them right out of the gate?
First question?
What have you been doing?
What's your body count right now, today? Coronavirus.
Okay.
That's question one.
Besides that.
How are you going to schedule something about their plan?
Let me give you the three-word answer that you are going to get for 98% of the questions. I don't know.
Yeah. And
because they don't know. Nobody knows.
And force majeure.
Yeah. Well, that, yeah.
So I know they've done all the canceling and they haven't set a date for when they're going to do their virtual.
Because I don't know how they can. Again, what's Dan Mulligan? Hey, the Gators are really expected to be high expectations here. Yep. Okay. And with besides the question, how healthy is your team? Which is the obvious question.
Yeah.
What else do you ask? How are the kids looking in drills? How are they doing that?
All right.
You can't, there's nothing to ask. I mean.
So let's dive deeper into this. Do you think that this is a crack in the foundation where the FCC and other commissioners and whatnot are thinking we can't set a date for this, say like July 30th, because we don't even know if we're going to be doing full camps by August because we don't think the season's going to start on time. Do you think there's a little connecting of a dots here?
Ding, 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 okay. Ding, 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 ding.
Right.
Craig Sheeman, you are the $64,000 question winner. Yes, I agree. That's what I mean.
I get $25 to the Boathouse on Naples Bay for answering the question correctly.
You get $64,000 to the Boathouse in Naples. We're having lobsters for a year.
Awesome.
But yeah, I really believe that. You know, we didn't get a chance to talk about what Finney said the other day, but I mean, I agree with him. I mean, I have a lot of respect for him and his insight.
Yeah.
And there's no way the season's starting on time. There's no way. I just don't see it.
All right.
I don't see it. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop where an FCS school cancels a football season. And then, as I keep saying, I believe there will be at least one Division I school that cancels the football season.
All right. Now, let me ask you this, and you may have heard me in the first hour while you were getting all together.
I was going 95 down 75.
Regarding the NFL cancellation of the two of the four preseason games. Do you look at that? There's one of two ways to look at that, in my opinion. One is that's also a crack in the foundation that we may get rid of the rest of the preseason, flip-flop September into January, have a delayed Super Bowl. Or the reason the NFL is giving us is, well, since we haven't had OTAs and camps, we just need more practices and more time to get together. Which one of those two arguments do you believe?
Well, I think the NFL is convinced that they are starting on time. Preseason, no preseason.
Okay.
Dan Wilkin of USA Today reports that college football officials quietly have inquired with the NFL about whether the league would consider pushing back the 2021 draft in the event of a spring season for the colleges. And the NFL, according to Wilkin, made it clear it is not interested.
Yeah.
So the 86th NFL draft is scheduled for April 29th to May 1st in 2021 in beautiful downtown Cleveland.
Yeah.
So the NFL, I believe, is absolutely convinced that they are going to start the season on time. Yeah. But I'm not sure they will.
By the way, you teased going at the top of the hour that you had other NFL news. Was it that? Was it about the draft, or was there something else you were going to get to?
No, it was about that.
Okay,
and then also, and then in that, and why college football could end up playing in the spring. Penn State AD Sandy Barber called playing in the spring, quote, a last resort.
We have that soundbite.
But it is an idea college football has considered.
Let's play that. Give Rick just a second to dial that up. Yes, that was. As the Penn State athletic director,
I lost you.
Stacy, you got me? Are you gone?
Yeah, you are.
Okay. Stacy, what's his name? Stacy Barber.
Stacy Barber.
Stacy Barber. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Last resort, spring football.
We all know it. We started talking about the spring in March.
That's spring.
And at that time, we were far more pessimistic than we were 4 weeks ago. And I think even more pessimistic than we are today. I think there are lots of challenges. It would be a last resort. And I think one of the biggest challenges, and it's probably the biggest one in my mind, is the proximity to then the next season. And frankly, a second lost spring ball.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yes.
So say that last resort comes to fruition. Okay.
Right.
Let's play along. The season would end when? Would we start in March and end in June? Or would we?
Right. We have a national championship in June.
June or early July? You're going to tell me that these bowl games can be played in Florida in the middle of July or early July, even late June?
Well, I'm not as concerned with the weather. Okay, they can either play in extreme hot weather, or sometimes these bowl games are played in dreadful cold weather.
I know, and you can play at night. I understand that.
My number one argument against spring football was the original schedule when they first start talking about this, playing into like May and Memorial Day weekend and then bowl games and championship in June, I said, but the NFL draft is in April, and if I'm a senior or a junior, I'm not playing. But this is the first time I've heard the NFL suggest that they could move the draft. Look, the NBA's moving the draft. I mean, we should have the NBA draft 2 weeks ago, and it's going to be in October now. If the NFL moves its draft to, like, July in the summertime, I'm fine with that. And then college football in the spring makes a little bit more sense. But the last point there, now you're going to double back. You got kids that are playing till June, and then you're going to start back up with camps in July and August and play again the 2021 season in September. Well, that seems a little rushed.
Well, here's the thing. And like I said, at the end of what Dan Wilkin, at least, of USA Today was saying, was according to him, NFL made it clear they are not interested in moving the draft. They're going April 29th to May 1st. So if that's the case and last resort comes to fruition of college football in the spring,
right,
that is going to be so awkward. How do you have Trevor Lawrence playing late May when the draft has already happened?
Well, that it won't happen. I mean, he won't play. He won't play. I'm telling you, he's a perfect example of a player that I would. That's it. My career's over.
Talk about. And this is what I have said. And I'm wondering if that's the case. It's not just him. Anybody, any of these guys projected to be in the first round, they're not playing. They won't play if it comes to that.
Pete, if I was projected to go in the fourth round, I would not play. I would not risk the injury. There's no way I'm playing spring football.
I agree with you totally.
Yeah.
So I'm just throwing Trevor out there because he's going to be one of the favorites, but yeah, Justin Fields, not just quarterbacks, but like you said, any position. I mean, think about that, and I don't think it's an impossible scenario either. I don't at all.
I think it's a little more likely today than I thought a couple weeks ago.
I never would have thought it a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago.
I disregarded it right out of hand, but now that we're into your magic date that you said on the show 3 weeks, July 1st, we'll see where we are July 1st. I don't feel that good about where we are July 1st, and so now I think everything's on the table.
The only thing July 1st was ends up being is that some baseball players reported their first official workouts are supposed to be tomorrow.
Yeah,
for most teams. But that's it. I don't feel comfortable right now with anything starting on time. And the NBA is going to be so fascinating to me on a daily basis. And right out of the gate to see who is eligible to play, who's eligible / wants to play. And I got to wait to see when all these guys get there. Now, I know I heard you talking earlier when I was coming down to pick up my wires and everything coming back about the Toronto Raptors. There's no doubt they're staying at the Ritz. Yeah, of course they're playing at Tiburon. there's no doubt about it.
Yeah,
what's fine. You got to take single. I'm sure they're taking single carts and whatever.
I saw a story. This is it's inappropriate, but because we're talking about the NBA players in the bubble, and there's no way these grown men are going to go without women. And I saw a story online that these hotels will offer free porn and cameras on their free porn cams or something on their TVs in their rooms.
No, I don't know what's free porn cameras. It's called adult television.
Right.
They'll be able, just those movies, everybody knows there's a gazillion.
It'll be free. You won't be surcharged
$14.99. What are they, $18.99? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Any movie you buy. And whether it's whatever type of movie you're into, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It could be the Avengers or it could be porn, whatever it is. And you always have this disclaimer on the bottom. Name of your movie will not appear on your bill.
right. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of that going on, I guess. So I guess.
But I don't, in this day and age, you don't need that. I mean, if you're that desperate to self entertain yourself, it could have a laptop or a phone. I don't think you need to spend $20 on a movie.
So what you're saying is just free internet.
Yeah,
because hotels like that like to surcharge
you. Everybody knows it's all out there. I mean, yeah. It's just I don't know. This day and age, I've been paying $19.99 to watch pornography on television. Well, why pay when it's free?
By the way, the bubble, as it were, is going to cost the NBA $150 million. That's the price. Of course, they're already losing $1 billion so far. But, yeah, that's the cost to play in Orlando and put up 22 teams, players, coaches,
personnel. Say that again. I'm sorry. Say that again.
$150 million. That's what the bubble will cost. About $50 million a month for a 3.5-month process. So, yeah. Got to do what you got to do.
And how about this? I don't think we talked about this today, too. One of the most, I guess we shouldn't be shocked by this, right? But I will just tell you this. The University of Alabama has just issued a statement regarding the alleged Corona parties.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We haven't gotten to this yet. And I wish Chris was here to defend his former university.
Everybody will come down hard in Alabama. I guarantee you they're not the only institution doing this. They're just the first to get caught. So he want to hear that his Alabama just released a statement seconds ago.
Yeah.
Hang on. He make less.
Well, again, they're having they're having like parties, the kids, in the bars to see who can catch it and who can't or something to that effect. And they're doing it in Tuscaloosa.
We have been aware for weeks of the rumors about COVID parties. We conducted a thorough investigation, and although we have been unable to identify any students who have participated in these type of activities, we will continue to follow up any information we receive and educate our students about essential precautions. Our students want a return to on-campus instruction and the extracurricular opportunities they enjoy, and we fully expect them to safeguard their personal health and safety and that of everyone at the university in our city. University of Alabama is unwavering in its commitment to the safety and well-being of our community. We have in place strict rules about on-campus activities and will enforce them stringently. Prior to the return of our students, all will participate in a detailed education and health module. We will test every student before they return to campus, along with all faculty and staff, at no cost to them. When we reopen in August, we will have mask rules, physical distancing, enhanced cleaning, sentinel and symptomatic testing, and multiple other health and safety measures developed in conjunction with the world-renowned medical experts at UAB and others throughout the University of Alabama system. It is essential that students cooperate and comply with these guidelines to allow for the safe return and continued operations of our campus. And then they have details where it can found and... asking anyone with any information to contact the University of Alabama UA Office of Student Conduct immediately. Now, I got to believe we're going to see some video, right, Craig and Rick, coming out. Kids always have this stuff on phones. Somehow it always gets leaked. And I guarantee you it's going to be ugly.
Like a mosh party.
Yeah.
It's
going to be ugly. Some of these videos are going to surface. They always do.
Yeah. Surprised they haven't yet, to be honest with you.
And it's just really, it's selfish and it's really... you know, I'm wondering if it's a select group or this has been going on. The statement said it's been going on for some time.
Right, right.
Not new.
So what are they doing? They all hanging out in bars and all kissing each other and saying, hey, let me see if we can catch it. I mean, there's going to be something going on like that, some videos of that.
I don't know. Got to be something somewhere. I have a feeling it might be a bar, might be anywhere. But what are you just all, you know, you only kiss so many people in some night. Is everybody? Maybe they all spit at each other. I don't know what they're into.
Maybe they're all there at the one of my favorite. I used to broadcast. I did some broadcasts at the famed Houndstooth bar right outside of the stadium, Bryant Denny Stadium. I like the first part of your statement where you said the students like to enjoy the extracurricular activities. What does that mean?
Extracurricular activities would be anything outside the classroom.
Right,
meaning, I'm assuming sports, recreation,
making
dances.
Out in bars trying to catch coronavirus? Yeah. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, basically.
By the way, is making out going to be the new thing that we don't do, like handshakes anymore? I mean, let's say, Pete Shepard.
So this is a better version of mono. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, it's a worse version of mono. You're
Well, obviously,
But no, let me ask you that. Let's say you were on the scene now as a young, single, 19-year-old Pete Shepard.
I've seen guys like you, flashy, making the scene.
Exactly.
That's Bookman from Seinfeld.
Good line.
Let me tell you something, Joy Boy.
Joy Boy. Are you going to be, you know, quick to, make out? I don't know.
As an 18, 19-year-old?
You probably want to, but are you scared? I don't want to handshake anybody anymore. I don't. That's done.
But as a 19-year-old young man, young woman, you know, hormones raging, you're in college, you're drinking.
Yeah.
Please.
But then you
can
get corona.
That's the last thing. You're with some, you know, you're with a hot girl or a hot guy, if you're a girl or whatever, it floats your boat, whatever.
Right.
You're with the person of your choice and you just met them. You're at a party, you're at singles and you're having cocktails and sake shots. Yeah, you're making out. That's the last thing. There's no way. I'm not saying everybody, but the majority of teenagers, late teens who are in college, you're going to make out.
I got to hear from them. I know we got 20-year-old fake Flask. I know young Sean, the Giants fan. I kind of want to hear their opinion on it. Are you more scared, you know, to make a move? And by make a move, I mean making out. If with a chick you just met, you know nothing about, you know where nothing where she's been, who she's been
just
with.
Just be holding hands, for crying out loud.
You can't even do that now. Not without Purell. I'm not shaking hands anymore. I'm not holding hands.
I mean, really, it's got to be. If you're really following the rules stringently, it's tough to be romantic in this day and age, at any age, but particularly if you're a young adult and you're in college and you're away from home for the first time. Imagine last, you get into your wherever it is,
Yeah.
Say, I'm going to Miami, going to Florida State, UCF, whatever. I live in Timbuktu in Iowa.
Right.
But I can't wait to get to Florida. Oh, hot women and blah, blah, blah. Hot guys if you're a girl. Oh, that's. And now this.
Tough sledding. Tough.
Ooh. Ouch.
I mean, buy a girl a drink at a bar. It just doesn't mean what it used to mean, 6 months ago, 3 months ago.
Yeah. No, it really doesn't. But it's. But I don't think a lot of young adults are going to pay attention to that stuff, Craig. I just don't.
Well, they haven't been. That's been part of the problem.
It happens.
Our two biggest problems have been the youths of America and then people dying in nursing homes. Those are the two biggest things that have been going on with the spread of corona.
You got some governors threatening, was it Charlie Baker in Massachusetts?
That's why bars are closed now.
But it's threatening, I think, no dancing at weddings.
No dancing. I know. Well, there was the story I saw online that a wedding party decided to have the wedding despite coronavirus. People told them to cancel. They didn't want to. The groom turns out positive, and now 100 people have corona, and the groom is dead.
Well, really? I didn't see that.
Yes.
Oh, shh.
Yeah, right.
How weddings are expensive on the whole.
Right.
They're expensive. We're talking $50,000 a lot of times, just for 150 people, depending on where you are. It doesn't have to be that. But, I mean, they are very, even 10,000, it's expensive.
Yeah.
So you put, first of all, it's tough sometimes to find, unless you're getting married by a JP, sometimes it's very hard to find a church or temple, whatever. Find a place, because everything is so booked, depending on where you are and what time of year you want to get married.
Right.
Then you got to get the DJ or the band and all that. So then you have to find a place for the reception. That is a pain in the butt because of, again, depending on what type of wedding you want to have and what time of year you want to have it. So if you're plunking down 20,000 plus and you're expecting 150, 200 people, and all of a sudden you have to cancel it, I'll tell you, that is, man, would the bride even allow it?
Right.
Let me ask you something, if you don't mind, and with all due respect. So,
yes.
Say it's 5 years from now.
Yes.
Your beautiful daughter meets the man of her dreams.
Right.
And you have, and let's pretend it's 5 years now.
Okay.
And you have an awesome event planned. You've already booked at the Ritz-Carlton.
Okay. Right.
You're actually going to play golf in the morning first, then go to your daughter's wedding.
And
that's the reception is going to be there.
Right.
And if I told you today that you would have to plunk down that kind of money, say you have a couple hundred people, and you had to tell your daughter, we're canceling. How would that go over? Not to mention the money you may lose, because you can't get.
Yeah, do I get my refund back or not?
I don't. I'm going to say no.
Can I go force majeure on the Ritz-Carlton and say, listen?
Let's for legal purposes and for the sake of entertainment on this show, no.
Okay.
So right. You're in. Say you're in for 20,000 plus.
Yeah,
that's being kind.
Right.
And you have to tell your daughter, oh my God, we may have to cancel this. Obviously talking, how do you think that would go over?
Well, first of all, forget about my wife or my daughter. The Craig man's not going to be too kind about losing 20 G's. I was going to tell you that right now.
So would you, with the choice of them saying, yes, you can go on, but obviously there's going to be big time precautions.
Now you're talking 5 years from now. We got this thing under wraps in 5 years.
No, but I'm saying pretend 5 years is today.
Oh,
so
okay,
pretend your daughter's older. So pretend she's older than she is now and she's. You've planned it all, and it's all good until this. But you've already 5-6 months ago put the down payment on
right.
over at the Ritz. You're going to have the reception there. Let's say for argument purposes, you already have your church, so that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it's the reception that is big time, and they tell you. Obviously, if they say you can't have it there, they're going to refund the money. But let's pretend that you have the option. You've 20,000 in.
We got a lot of old grandparents there that want,
You got 250 people there. Yeah. Say 250.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah. All right, 200. You got 200 people there, And no, how would you feel about it? It's if it was like, you know, next weekend.
Can I hand out masks and gloves at the door?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, you can. I might do that. Or you know what I should have done? And by the way, you've planned more weddings than I have. I think maybe you're more the expert than I am. But I will say this. Maybe I should do what my father-in-law offered me a deal under the table before the wedding planning started. He said, hey, I'll give you $5,000 if you elope with my daughter. Because it would have saved him a ton of money. And I didn't take him up on it. And in retrospect, I should have taken him up on it.
Well, it's every girl's dream, you know, to have the wedding on the whole.
I know.
It doesn't have to be. You don't have to. Because weddings are not about how many people. It's how many cool people you have there. You know, I don't think you have to have 200. No, but I mean, it's all about the people. They make the wedding. You can have 200 people there, and there's probably like 20 of them that you actually want to hang out with, right?
See, if I well, you're right. I can have a nice list of about 20 to 40 people and be cool with it, and then my daughter's going to roll in and say, all right, I got 100 sorority sisters that want to come with dates. And all of a sudden, that's where it gets out of control.
Well, that's it. And that's where it's difficult because if you don't invite this friend, that one gets offended and vice versa. It's really interesting, and I've been invited to weddings. I've had to cut a list at that's why I got married in Jamaica the last time. That was easy.
Yeah, easy. Just,
either come or you don't. We had 10 people come, so that was fine.
Right.
But you have to worry about all that stuff, and that's on top of all that. You have to worry about offending this friend or that friend.
I know.
And I've always said before, then you got the seating chart, which is just hell.
It's a nightmare
to do. Or a big wedding is hell to do because every family has people that they don't want to be near and sit next to for 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, you're right.
That's just the way it is in every family. Not to mention you got friends who may, some of your friends may not be friends with other friends that you have for this reason or that reason.
You know,
and it really becomes a real, instead of just people just shut up and sit where you're supposed to, it becomes a big task.
You're stressing me out because this is going to happen to me. And now I go back to my elope. I'm just going to offer my daughter $5,000 to elope.
Well, in this day and age, you know, a lot of kids might do that.
They might.
They might. Maybe she just wants a smaller wedding and you can turn can have it at your clubhouse where you live.
I put out the bat signal. I'm getting some response now. 20-year-old fake flash says, look, seeing girls and hooking up is kind of off the table for me right now. My parents are older, 61 and 55, and I hate to give them the virus without knowing because chances are that I and the girl would be asymptomatic. Yeah. Yeah. See? That's part of it. Rick Church on the other side of the glass. Did you have a dramatic wedding of any kind with all this drama that Pete's drumming up? Yeah. I mean, he's right. This is how some of them go.
Yeah.
Justice of the peace. Our 5-year-old son delivered the ring.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
We did things out of order, but we just did the justice of the peace. And then we had a huge party at the house afterwards.
Really?
Yep.
So you kept it simple.
Very simple.
But no drama.
But it's simple, but I bet it was terrific. And did you have
great.
A tent set up and everything? And
catered
and,
huge party at the house, yeah.
Yeah, and that's
fine. Lots of beer
I've been
to and
weddings.
Food. And,
I've been to weddings. I think those are much more fun to go to somebody's home with a big tent than to have to and have kind of like a buffet-style food already set up than to go sit through 5 hours of just, on the whole, absolute gibberish. Mm-hmm. From sloppy drunk speeches to kids shoving kids cake in mouths and, you know, this dance and that dance. And I'd rather be outside of the tent and can be maybe walk around. And I mean, I like the traditional stuff. You know, I like, everybody stands when the bride comes in and everybody introductions of the wedding party. I'm all for doing that. But, man, some of it gets really tedious. Don't you think? I mean, it can get.
I've enjoyed the weddings I've gone to because I only go to weddings really. Well, I don't get invited a lot, but I only go to ones that they're people I care about and I'm happy to see have their day and all that.
But that's another thing. I mean, to turn down a wedding. I mean, sometimes it's tough. If you turn down, then that person hates you.
Yeah, well, yeah. Crocodile Dundee has texted in. He's 38 and single. He says he wouldn't give a damn about this virus if there were some making out to do. So he's in the Pete Shepherd camp on that. He thinks it's let her rip. All right. Also, Better Than Faith typed in groom into Google. The first suggested search was about the groom that died from COVID that I told you about a second ago. So, yeah, that's a thing, man. All right.
Wait, 239 says, for all those who have wedding or having weddings right now, now doesn't matter how many people you want. I don't want the states telling us you can only have 30 people together, 50 people together. Some states are in very low gathering situations, which you have to decide what 50 people you want to come or cancel. Well, that's true, too. Yeah. And I'm not sure what but that's not true down here. I don't know what the rule is right now in Southwest Florida, at least for weddings. I don't know. But it might be right. It might just be what the capacity of the place is, wherever it is.
Yep.
Might be fair. You may not be allowed. That's the other thing. What if you have 200 invitations and then you're only allowed 100 people?
That's a dream come true for me as a paying father. I say, listen to my daughter. I say, listen, the rules are rules. We can only have 50, so chop this list. And we can probably fill up the 50 pretty fast. Green Falcon says, Mrs. Falcon and I paid for and planned our own wedding. By the time we were halfway through the planning, we were seriously talking about elopement every day. Couldn't because, you know, family. So,
well, yeah, you know, it's very expensive. Wow. It's even worse now. It's bad.
All right, we will continue with some of this fun and hijinks as we continue on a Thursday, which is like a Friday because we're off tomorrow for the 3-day weekend. Don't forget a Wikipedia coming up before the hour is up. At 5 o'clock, we're supposed to check in with Rick Harrow. We'll find out he's the business side of sports, get his thoughts on all the new developments this week. So still some more fun to come. Stay with us, Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Rick Church in for Chris. Spin of the stacks of wax today. Old school classic rock and roll. This is our last day of the week because Friday we're off. It's a 3-day weekend. We're going to treat it as a Friday. It means we've got probably Miley Cyrus coming up at 5 o'clock to kick it off for you.
Wow.
I think Rick is going to acquiesce and do it. I think.
Hey, real quick, Craig. That was like Bobby Walter. Wawa. Wheel quick, quick.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays have received exemption letter from the federal government, and they'll now move training camp to Toronto.
Wait a minute. Where were the Blue Jays training?
I think they were playing in Florida.
Were they? The Blue Jays, not the Raptors.
No, the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays.
Oh.
Yep.
They're in Dunedin, Florida.
Yep, Dunedin, yep.
Is it Dunedin or Dundeedon? I'm going with how Rick said
Dunedin.
It.
Dunedin?
Dunedin? Okay. Sounds like Crocodile Dunedin, Dundee.
That's the name of their single A team, anyway.
Yeah.
Is it? The Crocs?
No, the Blue Jays.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, very good. We have a Wikipedia coming up in just a little bit. Going to be a tough one for Pete Shepard. It's Richard Petty's birthday. So we do so. And Rick Horro will join us at 5 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL canceling half the preseason. Will there be more? And his thoughts on the $150 million the NBA is going to be spending on the NBA bubble, among other things.
Good news out of Las Vegas. This is something I was always skeptical about. So Allegiant Stadium set a July 31st substantial completion deadline. 29 days until then, the $2 billion stadium is ahead of schedule, 98% complete, according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal. 65,000-seat stadium is to the point of testing various systems, including a blackout test in case of emergency. Now, we talked about the toilet test.
The toilet test was 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, which is the big one.
It passed. Flying colors.
It passed with flying colors, yeah.
It passed like a bowel movement. I mean, it passed great.
Pass like a Thanksgiving dinner and a bottle of X-Lax. Yeah.
That's good. So what is 98%? Told a stadium is 98% done, what else has to be done? Like paint?
Well, seat installation is nearing completion. Video boards and ribbon installation is complete. The artificial turf used for tour purposes is almost done. And finishing touches are being done to suite and club spaces, and the video that they showed gave an update peek from the inside home of the Raiders and UNLV football. And we know that the first game there is going to be I thought it would be UNLV.
Yeah.
But now I don't think so.
Huh. Yeah, right. Yeah. And have we had any word on the LA stadium? Is that up to speed? Because California's been doing a lot of shutting down.
Don't know.
Haven't heard.
Do not know.
Yeah. Very good. All
right. So the Raiders Stadium, that's Allegiant Stadium, 65,000 seats. That should be pretty loud in there.
That's not a cozy number.
Not a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Very good. Yep, yep. What else do we have today? Let's see.
Here's a breaking. Here's breaking news.
We got breaking news.
Yep.
Hold
this
on.
Is breaking news.
Hold on. Rick's got to get his thing going. This is legitimate breaking news.
Yep.
Here we go. Breaking news!
Oh, please.
Breaking news.
It's a Woj bomb.
Adrian
Wojnarowski. The NBA is closing in on signing off on a second bubble in Chicago for the eight teams that were not invited to play in Orlando, enabling mini training camps and subsequent games against other clubs with a target date of September. That's according to Jackie McMullen.
All right, let me unpack this.
Go Timberwolves!
This is for the sheer practice of just for the idea of practicing and playing some games?
No, I'm reading into this. I'm looking at it two ways. I'll read it again. NBA closing in on signing off on a second bubble in Chicago for the eight teams that were not invited to play in Orlando, enabling mini training camps and subsequent games against other clubs with a target date of September. My feeling is this also. This could be what we talked about at the beginning of the show, a backup just in case things go a little awry in Orlando.
It'd be a backup, and then at that point they would say, forget the eight teams, don't bother. We're moving the 22-team operation to Chicago.
That would be my guess, and maybe that's a bit of a reach. I don't know, but certainly I talked about it at the beginning. You know, what would Adam Silver do if he knew then what he knows now? And again, we can do that about everything in life. I understand that.
6'3" called it right. 6'3" says, yeah, so this is like the NBA version of the NIT.
basically it is.
Hey,
but
guys,
still, it gives them a backup plan. I know they're targeting September, and I guess they'd have to. I think it's interesting in case things, but if things go kind of awry in Orlando, they have a second bubble on the horizon here in Chicago.
But if this is legitimate,
September.
If this is legitimate for as the words as they are written as of today for the other eight teams, Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors, they've already mailed it in. They're done. They've emptied their lockers. They're not coming back. Nor do they want to with coronavirus.
That's what I mean. I don't know how you get teams. What is the purpose of this? The other eight teams, like you said, are spread out all over the country. What? Except if you're the Chicago Bulls, what good does it do you?
Hey, guys, someone named Alex just called in and he said he didn't have time to go on the air, but he asked a legitimate question. I said, I guess I never thought about that. Why do you suppose the NBA picked like Orlando, Florida, rather than Montana or someplace where there's been very little occurrence of the coronavirus that's in the middle of
because
nowhere?
When they made the decision, and I said this earlier, Adam Silver had the best information available at that time and made the decision he could. Florida was on cruise control. We were like the beacon in the night on how to run things. We had low coronavirus. And then they have the housing, high-end housing, I might add, and something for the players and their families to do with golfing and Disney and all that.
Fishing,
Montana,
yeah.
You got, I mean, oh, they'd be suicidal up
but,
in Montana.
But don't you think a lot of the players' first priority is, like, safety?
No.
They say it is.
No?
But Rick,
first priority is to get women.
Maybe not.
I don't think they would have signed off on Montana.
Yeah.
I think they would have signed off on Vegas and Orlando.
Plus, you don't have the facilities to house 22 teams in Montana.
That's what I mean. I don't know where I've never been to Montana. It looks like a lovely state from what I've seen on all my cooking shows.
A lot of people say it's
watch.
The best.
It's
great.
It looks very nice in the summer.
But at the time the decision was made, Florida looked like we were past and done with this thing.
I mean, you could say, why didn't they play in Alaska? Why didn't they play in Idaho? Why didn't they play, in Outer Mongolia, for that matter? It was just, it looked like the right thing to do at the time. But again, NBA closing in, according to Woj, on a second bubble in Chicago.
See, we're to the point now. Anytime you read a story about a second bubble for the other 18, or why is the NFL really canceling two of the four preseason? We've always got to do, all right, what's the real reason? We never accept the first reason that we're given with the PR fluff. We were always like, what's really going on here, Bob?
And what's the incentive? What is, like you said, what is the incentive?
I mean, you think Steph Curry is going to come back and risk blowing out a knee in September and in Chicago just playing some meaningless NIT NBA games? No.
Maybe the Knicks can win like a little mini tournament.
Yeah.
You know, the worst of the NBA, and you get a little, like a, you know, 12-year-old Little League trophy for participating.
239 with a good point. You think the second bubble's for TV money? A few of those teams, maybe in big markets or whatever. You know, always follow the money trail, too. That's definitely true. Oh, Alex is called back. All right, let's get him on here. Alex at Fort Myers, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hi, Alex. How are you?
Hi, Alex.
Yeah, you guys look like you're looking for material here. Really quick, why am I Montana?
Whoa! What do you mean we're looking for material? This show has been. What are you talking about?
This is breaking news.
I'm just kidding with you. Guys.
Okay, all right, fine. Go ahead.
Ted Turner lives in Montana. Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I know a lot of people. Phil Jackson went there every summer. It's lovely, but there's nothing there.
So if it's lovely and the NBA is going to spend how many millions of dollars building a bubble in Orlando, and you're not going to say that they're not going to have hotels?
They didn't build a bubble in Orlando.
For the single guys? Or?
Alex, they didn't build a bubble in Orlando. That was already there. It made perfect sense at the time. They got the housing and they got the extreme. They got the fishing.
There's nothing in Montana except for log cabins, man. You're not going to be able to play.
Where are you going to put all the NBA for the players? You got to understand. They had to sign off on this. There's no way in hell. You could, and I know what you're saying. Montana, Idaho. Downtown Juneau, Alaska. I get it. Isolated play. But the NBA, Juneau, remember, Alaska, they have to sign off on this.
Only if you like to fish.
Have it on a glacier. Again, I understand what you're saying.
I don't even know if there's a basketball court in Montana, for crying out loud. There's just much trees and mountains and lakes to fish in.
They got a D1 school basketball team.
One.
Well, the question is, Pete, you feeling okay?
I do. I feel great, actually. I feel great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, yep. Cool. How about Chris?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
he sounded a little
anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, Alex, I feel fantastic. Thanks for asking.
Well, I can tell you, you were like on hyper anti Mountain Dew, diet Mountain Dew withdrawals.
All right. Yeah. I appreciate it, Alex. Have a nice 4th of July weekend, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, you guys too. Absolutely. And everyone be safe.
All right, you too. All
righty. We'll do.
Herbie Hancock texts again on our other Tuscaloosa conversation. I'm not worried about kissing a girl and getting corona. I'm more worried about herpes because it keeps coming back. Jeez. What is
fan of Mr. Know-It-All. Check out Brady's Instagram stories from Yellowstone Club. They got space. The players are not signing off to go hang out at Old Faithful. It ain't going to happen. You know? I understand there's tons of isolated places around the country. Around the world, if you wanted to. They're not going to sign off on it.
No.
There's a reason why Orlando and Vegas were those two spots.
I still don't think there's infrastructure to play for 22 teams to set up, live, and play games around the clock. It's Montana. There's nothing there.
No, I mean, it's a beautiful state, but you can't.
You go to Montana to get away from everything else and just enjoy nature. That's all that's there, nature.
People are just obsessed with, you know, why not... You know, why not find an isolated place in this country? They're not going to sign off on it.
Right. All right.
No, they may come back to bite him in the butt, but that's the way it is.
It might. Now, are you ready for Wikipedia?
I am.
It's a NASCAR-related topic, which is not your strong suit, but you might do okay, because I've tried to keep this simple. It is Richard Petty's birthday today. I think we determined he is 83, I think. So we're going to do Richard Petty trivia. If you know nothing about NASCAR, sit this one out, please. Because I don't want
No. Don't say that.
Well, I don't. You know, sometimes we get these guys that don't know anything about anything, and it bogs down the show.
Yeah, but this is a tough subject for me.
I know. You might just man up and take it. All right. We need caller number 9, and we got some Papa John's pizza for you from any of Southwest Florida's Papa John locations, whichever's more convenient for you. Caller number 9, Wikipedia. Going to do a little Richard Petty trivia. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter, shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia.
All right, here we go. It is Richard Petty's birthday today, so we're doing Richard Petty trivia. Caller number 9 is Phil in the Cape. Hi, Phil.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Phil, how old are you?
56.
And are you at all a NASCAR fan?
I am.
All right. Let's see how you do here.
A little bit post-petty, but I'm a NASCAR fan.
That's all right. All right. So the first one to three correct answers is the winner. You get to go first. Phil, question number one is, what is Richard Petty's nickname?
Oh, God. Let's see. Is he the boss?
No, not the boss. Pete, by chance, do you know?
I believe it's same as LeBron, right? The king.
It is the king.
Oh, okay.
Pete Shepard would have gotten that right if it were up to him. All right.
But
no worries. No harm, no foul. Pete Shepard, your first question. Mm-hmm. How many times did Richard Petty win the Daytona 500?
Oh, God. I'm trying to go by the Bubba Wallace stuff. They had all his stats. I know it's...
Right on the tip of your tongue.
It is. I know it's... seven?
No. No bleeping way. No, you just pulled that out.
I almost said eight. I knew it was under 10. I have a total guess. It was either six, seven, or eight.
You got it right.
I guess. I put the one in the middle.
Pete Shepard with a 1-0 lead. All right, Phil, it's your turn. Phil, what was Richard Petty's primary car number for most of his
43.
Career? There you go. There you go. All right, we're tied.
Yeah, I don't think I would have got that one.
Oh, okay. It's pretty iconic. All right.
Yeah, I know. But
Pete Shepard, what brand of car did he win his first Daytona 500 in?
What kind of a car?
Yeah,
a fast
was it a, was, no, it, a, was it a Ford? Was it a Dodge? Was it a Chevy? Was it a?
Obviously, it's not one of those.
Well, it could be.
No, I don't think so.
Right.
Jeez. What kind of car?
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, I can't just say like the name brand you said because that doesn't. Now we're down.
You could, but I was just giving examples, but you know.
And say the question again, his first...
What brand of car did Richard Petty win his first Daytona 500 in?
God. I really don't know. I'll go Ford. I don't know.
Okay. That is incorrect. That's a good guess. Now up to Phil with a chance to steal. What brand of car did Richard Petty win his first Daytona 500 in?
I'm going to say Dodge, but...
Ooh.
It's probably a Plymouth.
It was a Plymouth. Plymouth would have been the correct answer.
Convert.
Plymouth?
No, they convert.
Jeez.
All right, that's okay.
It was a Plymouth Road.
My aunt had a hideous Plymouth back in the day.
Well, Richards went fast. All right, we're tied at one. This question is for Phil. Phil, what award did Richard Petty win way back in 1959?
The Cup Series, whatever it was called back then.
No. Pete, take a guess.
I think I know this one, too. It wasn't the NASCAR version of Rookie of the Year.
Yes, it was Rookie of the Year, but that's okay. Pete doesn't get a point for that one.
Damn it.
All right, Pete.
Yeah.
Which U.S. president attended Petty's final victory?
Oh.
And he was the first president to attend a NASCAR race live while president.
We race to the Bill Clinton?
No. Phil, your chance to steal. Which U.S. president attended Petty's final victory?
Final victory or final race?
Final victory.
Tough. Wow.
I need a president.
I said Bush.
Oh, we didn't hear you. I just heard silence. No. Ronald Reagan, July 4th, 1984, was at the Daytona Firecracker 400. All right.
Really?
Yeah. That was his last win. That was near the end of his career. All right, we're still tied at one.
All right.
This one, this one's for Phil.
Yeah.
Phil, where was Richard Petty born?
In a hospital.
I'm going to say Kentucky.
That's incorrect. Pete, would you happen to know?
I know this one, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Chris brought it up a couple weeks ago because of the stupid Tar Heels in North Carolina.
It is North Carolina. Level across North Carolina, but no point there. Yep. We're still tied at one. Pete Shepard, this question is for you.
Yes.
How old was Richard Petty when he began his NASCAR career?
Well, he was 83. I know you just said 59.
Pete. Phil, take a guess. How old was Rich Petty when he began his NASCAR career?
20.
Oh, the two of you split the 21. 21 was the correct answer. Pete was on some good math there. I know where he was going. All right. This one's for Phil. Phil, STP was a sponsor for him for many years. What does STP stand for? As we run out of music.
Super Treatment Product.
No. Pete Shepard, care to guess?
I know it's an oil of some sort.
Correct.
Right?
I know it now.
It's a motor oil company.
Yes. We're running out of time. I think we may have to redirect the music.
I know it's oil. It's oil. It's a petroleum something.
Is correct. But Phil had the word treated right. Scientifically treated petroleum is the correct answer.
Well, that's just a stupid long name.
We are out of time. That is a 1-1 tie.
Any questions left?
There are, but I'm out of time. It's 5 o'clock.
We got to finish to the end.
Pete, I'll throw you the feud later on. But Phil, we thank you for playing.
Thanks, bro. You still win.
Good job. Have yourself a great weekend. Thanks, I appreciate
it. All right.
Very good. Let me see, Pete, if I can squeeze in a few here. Just rapid fire. If you don't know him, we'll move on.
Yeah.
What brand of car did he switch to in 1969?
Oh, God. This is.
Just name one of the big ones. Right, Ford. Good answer.
Chrysler. Chrysler.
Ford.
Ford, Chrysler.
No, Ford and Chrysler have nothing to do with each other.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure. My dad worked for 35 years for Ford.
I know.
Which network did Petty work for as a color analyst? This is way back in 1995, I think it was.
I'm going to say ABC.
It was CBS. Good guess.
Was it?
And finally, which driver had his first career start in Petty's final race?
Oh, in his final race.
First race was the first race for this other very popular, very well-known driver. Even you know who he is. Yes, Jeff Gordon. Good answer.
Jeff Gordon. Great, Jeff Gordon.
It was at the Hooters 500 in Atlanta. All right, it's 5 o'clock on a Thursday, but it's really a Friday since we're not here. Miley Cyrus coming up, Rick Horro, and a whole lot more. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.